Good afternoon, everybody, and Senate Rules Committee will come to order for our last meeting in April. So welcome to our Thursday, April 30th meeting of the Senate Rules Committee. And I will begin by opening a work session on Senate Bill 294. Members, it's been a while since we heard this bill. Aaron's going to remind us what it is, and we have an amendment to consider. And Ron Burson from the Ethics Commission is also here to explain why it's here. So, Erin, why don't you go ahead first?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Senate Bill 294 was originally heard on February 24th. It provides the Oregon Government Ethics Commission rulemaking authority to assist in enforcement of executive sessions provisions of public meeting laws. You have a dash two, which allows for the Oregon Government Ethics Commissions to have rulemaking authority around executive sessions, except for adopting rules that establish what entities are considered representatives of news media as it relates to executive sessions. We have a no revenue and a no fiscal impact on the dash two amendment.
Okay, thanks, Erin. And Ron Burson, would you like to come forward? Please identify yourself for the record and then just tell us the background.
Yes, thanks, Madam Chair. My name is Ron Burson. I'm the Executive Director for the Oregon Government Ethics Commission, and I'm here today to talk again about Senate Bill 294. It really been since February. Wow, time flies. So anyway, I know there's been some talk about the dash two amendments, and the commission is in favor of moving forward with the bill with the dash two amendments. This is a very important bill for the commission. One of the most popular, not popular, that's a bad phrase, but one of the most frequent complaints before the commission is violations of the executive session provisions of the public meeting laws. And as you know, the commission in 1993 was given oversight of those executive session laws. Many of the laws, and again, back in 93, the commission was not given rulemaking authority at that time. These executive session laws are used by over 1,700 public jurisdictions out there. Many of these folks that serve in these jurisdictions are volunteers in their community, trying to serve their community. They are not as versed in the law, and many of these jurisdictions do not have the benefit of legal counsel while they're holding the meetings. However, they do have benefit of their constituents watching them to make sure that they're holding them correctly, and then they complain to us about not holding them correctly. So some examples of rules that would be very helpful to these groups is an example is if you want to discipline somebody in executive session or discipline a public official, you have to give them prior notice and give them the chance to either have that in a public session or an executive session. It is not spelled out in this law what that prior notice means, and we get everywhere from I walked out in the audience a minute before we were going to discipline them and asked them do they want to have it in open session or not. Another example is at the beginning of executive session, you're required to cite the reason going into executive session. Many public bodies miss that citation, or they make a citation where they simply list all the reasons to go into executive session. Rules can clarify this and give some direction to these folks. This is used for, we need these rules to use for our training. This is one of our popular requested trainings from the commission. So that's why I'm here before you today.
Okay, thanks for that explanation, Senator Beyer.
Thank you, Minister. Ron, I think I understand where you're going with this. I'm a little bit confused on, does the statute, and I'm looking at here before, preclude you from adopting administrative rules now?
Chair Rosenbaum, Senator Beyer, we have asked for an attorney general opinion. I have not seen that opinion, but prior, that was one of the questions that we asked specifically, is if we have the implied ability to promulgate administrative rule on executive session, and the information that I've received from the Department of Justice is that we do not have that implied ability. That, and you might notice when you do administrative rule, one of the very first things you have to put down is your statutory authority to promulgate rule, and we do not have that. Well, so that is why we're here before you today.
I would think your statutory authority is the Administrative Procedures Act, which requires a state agency to issue a rule if it's not clear in statute.
We asked specific questions, and the Attorney General's office has
given me a negative.
Yeah, go ahead.
The other one is the Attorney General is the keeper of the administrative procedures, not the administrator, excuse me, the open records law. They publish the book that has the whole thing, and they are the definitive source on all of that. What happened? Why did we change that? It seems like they should be the one who's enforcing this.
Well, even though I've been with the state, Senator Byer, since the late 80s, this happened in 1993. I was not with the commission at the time.
Okay.
But my understanding at that time was as many citizens were coming to this group and asking for some relief because, as you know, on public meetings law, the burden is on the private citizen to take that to court. And as you can probably tell, that's a high standard to bring people, public bodies, to task for any mistakes they make in public meeting laws. So it was asked that the commission oversee this, and it was given to the commission in 1993.
Actually, the determinant on what needs to be released in that is usually the district attorney or the attorney general. That's the way it's defined. But
I'm sorry, Chair Rosenbaum, Senator Byer, you were talking about public records.
Mm.
We're not here to. This bill has nothing to do with.
I understand
public
that.
Records.
But it's
just
the
public meetings
it's
law.
It's the same statute.
You're right. They do. They publish a publication that gives direction in there. What I'm saying is these administrative rules will help give additional direction to these 1,700 bodies that struggle with these laws each and every day and end up before the commission. In fact, the commission meets tomorrow, and I know of a public body that is before them on executive session laws.
I'm not faulting you. I just wonder why the legislature went there. And that's not the way the law was originally statuted.
It went where? Madam Chair?
Yes, Senator.
Why the legislature went where?
Well, as you know, Senator, that the authority for the administrative procedures, not Mr., I keep tying it up, the Oregon Open Records, Open Meetings Law, it's the same one, same law, has always been vested with the Attorney General, and they published the manual, and it's, if you're going to challenge anything, you either challenge it through the county district attorney or through the Attorney General. I don't think I was here when the Ethics Commission got thrown into the soup. It just kind of seems like we're confusing it a little bit.
Right. Well, I get what you're saying, but nonetheless, that's the way it is now. So we're just trying to deal with it. Any other questions for Mr. Burson?
Absolutely.
I don't see any other questions for you, so thank you for your testimony. Also, members, you might recollect that we had quite a bit of testimony on this bill when it was first presented. Then subsequently, because of this amendment, the newspaper publishers, I've had conversations with them. They're in the room and have let me know that they are now neutral. I think it would be fair to say I see them nodding on this bill. So that's been taken care of by the amendment. And so that's what we've got. And we are in a work session. Vice Chair Farioli.
Yes, ma'am.
Did you have a motion?
No, ma'am.
You do not have a motion.
No.
Okay. Well,
Okay,
I think Senator Burdick has a motion.
Madam Chair, I move to adopt the -2 amendment to Senate Bill 294.
Okay, Senator Burdick has moved the -2 amendments to Senate Bill 294. Is there any discussion on the -2 amendments? Any objection to adopting the -2 amendments? Okay, amendment is adopted. And Senator Burdick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move Senate Bill 294 to the Senate floor, 294 as amended to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Burdick moves Senate Bill 294 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion on her motion? Yes, go ahead, Senator Byer.
Madam Chair, I'm troubled by this bill and the relationship with the Attorney General. And my concern is confusion that those who have to live with the law might have in the field with an Attorney General's manual and rules on one side and now the ethics on the other side. Nothing. Either agencies keep trying to do their job, but it seems to me that creates a confusion. If you want to move it, I will give you a vote today, but I'm not sure that I will vote yes on the floor.
Senator Beyer, I think that the answer to your concern, though, is that the confusion exists right now, and the bill really is intended to clear it up. So
I appreciate that. I don't necessarily agree that it does.
Okay, so I know we have a motion in front of us, but why don't we can take a brief recess, right?
Sure.
And we're back on the record, and we have in front of us a motion, which was that the bill, as amended by the Dash 2s, go to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any further discussion on the motion? Any objection to the motion?
Yes.
Okay, and Derek, would you call the roll, please?
Senator Burdick?
Aye.
Senator Beyer?
Yes.
Senator Boquist?
Nope.
Vice Chair Farrell?
Nope.
Chair Wilkins?
Aye. Motion carries. And I think the chair will volunteer to carry this on the floor.
You're certainly not I prepare my plan right next to your desk.
Okay. So I will close the work session on Senate Bill 294. And members, our situation right now is the House still in session.
There.
The House is in session. We do have some House members that want to testify on some of these House bills. But I think we have some other witnesses that we can hear from first. So which one should we take up? Okay, so why don't I open up public hearing on House Bill 2974. And Erin, why don't you tell us about this one?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. House Bill 2974 requires Legislative Assembly or Secretary of State to hold public hearings throughout the state prior to adopting congressional or legislative reapportionment plan. It comes to you with no revenue and a minimal fiscal impact and with 53 aye votes and 5 no votes. 2 members were excused on the House floor, and it's before you today.
Okay, thanks, Erin, for that explanation. I think I'll first call Rochelle Altman, Secretary of State, if you'd like to come forward. Good afternoon. Good to see you again.
Thank you. Chair Rosenbaum, members of the committee, the Secretary, Rochelle Altman, Legislative Director for the Secretary of State's office. We are neutral on this bill. We just wanted to request that the committee consider not working the bill today to allow us time to meet with some of the bill sponsors to, in light of some information that came to us recently. We recently took a look at our administrative rules that provide a detailed timeline for how the Secretary of State would develop a legislative reapportionment plan if that task fell on our office. And under the Constitution, the legislature, as you know, would have until July 1st to develop the plan, and then the duty would fall on our office. And then we have until August 15th to submit a plan to the Supreme Court. And within those time frames, our administrative rules currently require us to develop a draft reapportionment plan by July 16th to then give us time to allow for public comment and hearings on our draft plan to then ultimately submit it to the Supreme Court by August 15th. And so we do have concerns, given we have between July 1st and the 16th, about holding 10 hearings around the state, and so would just ask for the opportunity to meet with the sponsors to consider what everyone might feel is reasonable, given we have potentially have a very compressed timeline to work under at the Secretary of State's office if the task falls to us.
And were you able to raise those concerns on the House side as well, or not? They hadn't arisen?
No, we had taken a look at the constitutional provisions, and then only after did the OARs come to our attention. Those in the current Secretary of State's administration have not been through the redistricting process yet, and so we're not familiar with these guidelines, unfortunately, prior to passage in the House.
Okay, any questions? Go ahead, Senator Beyer.
Just I guess a comment, Madam Chair. I would suggest that you at least look at the piece that it's about holding it, but it gives you the authority to do it by video conferencing. So that would answer that, as opposed to buying an airplane as part of the redistricting equipment. Mm.
Senator Boquist.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. And I would just make a comment, similar to Senator Byers, but I mean, I know council was involved in this last time, and I mean, the college students that use the GIS are used to road trips, so maybe they can make 10 places in 2 days. So.
Any other questions? Yes, Senator Farioli, go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. With the dates you were referencing in 2021.
Chair Rosenbaum, Senator Farioli, yes, I believe it would be in 2021.
Madam Chair, with 6 years to plan, I don't know that the calendar is overly burdensome.
Chair Rosenbaum, Senator Farioli, I believe given limited resources, it may not make sense to begin holding hearings before the legislature has had an opportunity to use its full time through July 1st to come up with a proposal. Just to clarify, are you proposing you would recommend that the Secretary of State's office hold hearings while the legislature is potentially still?
No, actually, I was only looking at the idea that you were worried about a compressed schedule and the ability to plan for those meetings.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, if you start now, you have a planning window of a minimum of 6 years. I would think that in the event, however unlikely, that your Secretary of State was called upon, it seems to me that you could have those meetings planned well in advance and simply activate the plan. And whether or not the Secretary of State adds input to the process before the legislature has succeeded or failed is immaterial. What is material, Madam Chair, is that there's good geographic distribution of the public meetings, because notwithstanding the fact that you've got the ability for people to participate electronically, even that capacity is somewhat limited in the frontier. So I would wonder if you would be, there's no direction in the bill that asks you or directs you to hold at least some of the hearings in non-metropolitan areas or in various geographic areas of the state. So has that been discussed?
Oh, Chair Rosenbaum, Senator Farioli, we have not discussed where we would hold the hearings, but would look to the bill that that we are instructed to hold hearings at locations throughout the state under this legislation. And just to further respond to your comment, I believe the concern is that you're correct. We have significant time to plan the hearings. I think the concern is more the time frame under which we would be required to hold the hearings and then provide real genuine consideration of what the Secretary of State's office hears and learns from those hearings, and then to incorporate that into a draft plan all between the 1st and 16th of July.
2021.
Correct. Thank between you. July 1st and July 16th of 2021.
All right. Well, it's just, Madam Chair, in living memory, there was a gubernatorial debate that was going to be scheduled for a place called the Middle of Nowhere, in reference to Bend, Oregon. So if Bend, Oregon is still considered by some to be the middle of nowhere, I would hope that there would be some hearings held on the east side of the state, perhaps Ontario or Pendleton, some downstate, perhaps in Medford, Grants Pass, something coastal. There's no direction for a geographic distribution. Throughout the state, to some people, means, you know, as far west as Beaverton and as far east as, you know, East Multnomah County. That would be throughout the state for some people's reference. So.
Well, I'm sure no one here thinks that, and certainly my interpretation would be throughout the state means all over the state, including the places that you're talking about. So I take your point, but I think Senator Beyer?
It's not that big of a deal. I mean, the last time we did it, just a few years ago now, we covered, I think we did four or five cities east of the mountains, okay. My hair, but no. Mm-hmm. And Bend, including Bend, which is not in eastern Oregon, but central Oregon.
Thank you for that.
Kay Falls, I think we
My
did
My good
Grants
colleague
Pass.
From the Senate.
Madam Chair, Senator Beyer, we did LeGrand and Burns and Bend. We went down to Medford and Coos Bay. And then in Tillamook. Each one of those, we went to Tillamook. Yes. And then we did several around the metropolitan area as well. But we did cover.
We did about that.
And within each of those, we did video conferencing to the adjacent counties to participate with their neighboring counties. So we hit every county at some point.
And I believe the time before that, when Secretary Bradbury did, he did about 8 or 10 hearings mm-hmm. around the state. Mm-hmm. Whether there made a difference or not, who mm-hmm. knows, but he did the hearings.
Okay,
it's certainly obvious to me, Madam Chair, that good counsel here could help him a little bit with planning, and we can get 10 done real quick.
Sounds like it, doesn't it?
A little experience.
Yeah. Okay, so any other questions for Ms. Altman? Okay, thank you very
Just,
much.
Just the obvious question is, I guess I could ask if the Secretary of State really needs to be directed to have 10 meetings.
Well, maybe the sponsors of the bill can better answer
that. It'd
be
a little
hard
to answer not knowing who the secretary would be at that time.
Well, maybe this is a separation of powers issue given the sponsors.
Okay, I don't think you need to answer that. We'll let you go. We do have another witness, so I'll call Stephen Carter if you'd like to come forward.
And Madam Chair, I'll just point out that the Senate leadership is not consulted on this bill.
Yes, I see that.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Stephen Carter. I'm from Portland, and I am a member of the Redistricting Matters Coalition, which includes AARP Oregon, of which I am a member of the Executive Council and a volunteer. We have something on the order of 500,000 members in the state. The coalition also includes Common Cause, the League of Women Voters of Oregon, and of course the City Club of Portland, where this bill, the germ of this bill, I believe, originated with our study of redistricting in the state and how we might improve the process. I will be brief. The legislature in 2011 did an exemplary job of redistricting. And one of the reasons, in our opinion, was the fact that there were hearings held, 10 hearings held before the plan was, the draft plan was released, and, 13 hearings before the draft plan was released and 3 afterwards. This gave citizens throughout the state a chance to both to comment, get their input recorded on what the redistricting plan should look like before the plan was drafted, as well as comment on the draft plan after it was completed. All of our organizations are very interested in the public's ability to participate in government and transparency in government. And I think this bill, 2974A, speaks very well to both those points. It codifies in law good practice, the good practice that the 2000 legislature did in redistricting the state. I also want to make the point that we are comfortable with the House amendments that were made. We think that there are some concerns, legitimate concerns, about the ability to hold hearings, how many hearings and where, after the draft plan is completed, in order to meet the July 1st deadline that the legislature faces to complete its plan. The fact that we can do now better video conferencing helps a great deal and extends the reach of this process immeasurably. So we urge passage of 2974A. As you heard earlier, this had broad bipartisan support in the House, and we will hope that there would be the same here in the Senate. I'd be happy to answer any questions. At least I'll try.
Okay, thank you for your testimony. Any questions for Mr. Carter, Senator Boquist?
Thank you. I have three or four questions, if you indulge
me.
Yeah,
go ahead.
And they're all friendly questions. I'm just putting this on the record simply because generally when you get to the point, the issue is not the legislature, and I concur, other than Falsett's, which I lost, which wasn't a city, but that's a private sort of thing here. If you don't know, Falsett's was in the final report. Of course, there's nobody lived in Falsett's in three decades in my district. So anyway, I agree with you, and the last plan is the model, but we can't bind future legislatures, and we weren't there, and we might not be here in the future. So I want to get a couple of things on the record. Because generally, if the legislature doesn't solve it and it goes to the Secretary of State, the next automatic stop is the courts. So we want to make sure there's a good record here when doing. You heard earlier, if you would please, since you were part of the bipartisan group that kind of put this forward, the Secretary of State raised issues about if the first 10 fail and the legislature fails and she gets it, this condensed timeline. Could you put on the record some comments in regard to, do you think it's still feasible for her to be able to do 10 hearings in the preparation of her plan?
We're all members of the
Senator Boquist, Madam Chair, I think with, as Senator Ferrioli noted, there is a lot of time to do some pre-planning on these hearings. I think it would be possible to do that if the Secretary of State's office ramped up early and with the possibility that they might have to take over this job.
Follow-up question.
Go ahead.
In regards to that, so I think what we agree is the Secretary of State does planning. This is accomplishable, so it's not overly burdening. The second point is your definition, for the record again, throughout the state. I think you've heard us go back and forward, and everybody has a different definition, and I think your organization's definition may be the throughout the state, but if you could kind of outline the types of places you're talking about and the types of input we're looking for.
As we put together our City Club report on redistricting, we wanted to have hearings, at least one hearing in every congressional district in the state as a minimum. I would think that would be a minimum. Forgive me, I'm not sure what the language of the bill now is on where these hearings are to be held, but our intent as a coalition is that these hearings be distributed around the state, and so that people in Southern Oregon, Central Oregon, Eastern Oregon, as well as the metro area, have a chance to comment on the proposed plan.
Just one quick, just a comment.
Yeah, go ahead.
And just for the record, I'm not. I just wanted to make sure, because the bill does say throughout the state, and like I said, third step is generally the court. We want to make sure it's on the record when we're all agreeing, and the intent would be throughout the state, is maybe at a minimum the five congressional districts, but inclusive of Eastern Oregon, Southern Oregon, Central Oregon, the Oregon coast, or something along that line. A broad spectrum of the entire state.
We won't
be here when this happens.
Senator Boquist, Madam Chair, that would be our intent.
Thank you.
Okay, Senator Beyer.
Just noting the language, it talks about the Legislative Assembly or the Secretary of State shall hold at least 10 public hearings before proposing a plan. It's entirely possible that the legislature would have held 10 hearings before proposing the plan, couldn't agree, and then it goes to the Secretary of State, which you could assume then doesn't need to hold 10 public hearings, but would have to hold the after hearing, the five after proposing his or her plan at that time.
He's the proponent.
My understanding is that they would, the Secretary of State would need to hold hearings, but that's something, we have not had a conversation, a direct conversation with the Secretary of State's office on this point, and we need to get that done.
But don't you think that would be duplicative? I mean, if they legitimately, if the Legislative Assembly in proposing their plan had held hearings, because the hearings, the intent of those hearings is to do it before you draw lines.
Correct.
And all of that information would be available to the Secretary of State as he or she chose to draw the plan. And then what would be important after that would be that they would hold the hearings on the proposed plan.
Senator Beyer, Madam
Chair, the understanding that perhaps after hearing about the proposed plan, they might want to make some changes.
Senator Beyer, Madam Chair, I agree that would make sense.
Senator Boquist?
I just want to follow up, and I think we have a historical perspective in the past, and a good representative is going to come up and tell us why they're interested in doing this, I think, here shortly. But the only problem, I think it seems to me the intent in this bill is to make sure, because we have had the past where the Secretary of State has done a completely different plan, mm-hmm. unrelated to what the legislature did, and so therefore whatever input clearly was different, and that's how we got into step three, which we're trying to avoid, which is a court case. And so I would assume the original intent is there's got to be some level of pre-done if the Secretary of State assumes that responsibility, and the good representative is going to answer that question.
Right. You don't we have now to. Have the
I'm only putting this in record because we're going to court on this one. Somebody.
Okay, well, thank you.
Or not.
You.
If we do it right.
Thank you very much.
Especially for the future legislature may choose not to pay any attention to it
since
at all.
The House is still in session, and Representative Leininger has joined us to testify.
We can bring him back if he wants to hang around.
Why don't we ask Mr. Carter to just perhaps sit in the
thank you for
audience
your work.
For a minute, and we'll have Representative Leininger testify, and then we'll call him back up. Okay, would you like to come forward? And thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Chair Rosenbaum, members of the committee. I'm Representative Ann Leininger, represent House District 38, Lake Oswego in Southwest Portland. And I'm pleased to be talking to you today about House Bill 2974. The concept for this bill was brought to me and to the co-chief sponsors by some people who are interested in trying to codify work that was done really well in the last redistricting process, namely outreach work. I was not a legislator then, but apparently there was some really great outreach work done around the state of Oregon, particularly in communities that had been particularly affected by transitions in population before the draft maps came out, and that helped identify where there were some natural borders or dividing lines that could shift that would make sense. And then after the process was completed, the proposed maps had been developed, there were additional outreach maps done with attention to the communities that had experienced the most shift to sort of fact check, to ground truth, whether in fact the proposed lines were a good idea. And the idea behind this bill is it's good to do that kind of outreach, and whoever's in control of, whoever has a majority in the House or Senate, it would be good to enshrine or to codify the idea that we'll do outreach hearings so that we can figure out where the changes have happened and how to respond to them in a way that's meaningful, and then bring back our drafts in a way that's also administratively possible, realistic, so that we can get feedback. The amendment to this bill, I think, is really helpful. What it makes sure we do is conduct the follow-up hearings in a manner that is administratively viable. So if you can't get to every single one of the five places in person in time to have that feedback generated and brought back in time for decisions to be made, those outreach meetings can be done telephonically through video conferencing in a way that allows for back and forth with members of the community. So fairness seems like a good idea. Whoever's in charge of the majorities, and the idea behind this bill is to help us codify that so that we can have decisions that community members feel enable them to be heard. I encourage your support.
Okay, and thank you, Representative Leininger, for coming here, especially during a floor session. I don't know if you heard the conversations we were having about, there seems to be some ambiguity about a couple of things. One is the language of the bill that says the legislature or the Secretary of State holding these hearings. And a question arose earlier about if the hearings had already been held by the legislature and then it goes to the Secretary of State, is the intention of the bill that the Secretary of State then has to hold 10 hearings in addition to those?
You know, the intention of the bill is to be administratively practicable. And, you know, my intention with the legislation is to have there be 10 up front at appropriate places around the state, and then at least 5 in some administrable way after the draft is created, not to have at every stop along the way an additional 10 and an additional 5, but rather to make the good faith effort to do outreach that I know that characterized your effort last time through, and we would hope would continue to be the standard for our legislature and government.
So it wouldn't necessarily mean that there would have to be 10 and then another 10.
I would hope very much that it wouldn't mean that there'd be 10 and another 10. Mm-hmm. The intention, and I may not have captured that perfectly or proofread for that issue perfectly, but the intention is to not overdo it, just to do it well.
Okay, so I saw Senator Boquist first.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative, I mean, the darts behind you from the Secretary of State, you just need to be aware that they're the ones that kind of raised the issue of could you do 10 the second time. I kind of characterize, and I'm fine. I know we need to do something, and I'm with you on that. It's just the history of Oregon, which those of us that are failed to study are doomed to repeat it, generally means if the Assembly doesn't do it, the Secretary of State does it, and if the Secretary of State does it, it's generally going to court. So therefore, all these intents make a difference here. And there is a history in which we've had Secretary of States throughout the last 200 years or 150 years go in and take all that stuff and then try and just tamper with it and then just completely rewrite it and do something totally different. So the question, that's why the questions are revolving around, okay, if we fail, we do 10 meetings, and then we have 5 meetings, and then we fail, and we punt this to the Secretary of State. The question is what does the Secretary of State have to do to make sure that, one, they have public input, and two, they have public response to the plan? And that's sort of the quandary of step two, because we'll end up in step three if we haven't defined what step two is.
Chair Rosenbaum, Senator Boquist, it sounds to me like you are appropriately speaking to the issue of when we say enough is enough in terms of prescribing steps. Do you have the view that it would be appropriate for this legislation to be limited to pre-formulation of a map by the legislature, and then our expectation was it would be pre-vote by the legislature? That was our expectation, that the 5, and that's why the time crunch would exist. Mm-hmm. Is because we needed to make sure we got all the feedback from the draft done before we voted on the map. So if you feel that, if your body felt that this were an appropriate way to do it, I would support clarifying, if you think that would be helpful, any ambiguity in the legislation. But my expectation was we would do it all before the legislature voted on the maps.
Go ahead, Senator Boquist.
I'm fine. I guess you could sort of say either way. But the way the bill is written now in line 7, it says Legislative Assembly. We know what we want to do. Let's try and get 10 times. Let's try and get 5 times. Let's hopefully do what we did last time, and the legislature passes and it makes it. However, the bill is structured in such a manner in line 7 that it says when we failed, now, or Secretary of State, now the Secretary of State under the law has assumed responsibility, and there are 2 options at that point. Either the Secretary of State, you know, takes all of the input that we all put in here, or unfortunately there has been both cases in history where Secretary of State's just rewritten the whole thing and gone forward and done nothing. It's the second one that always ends up at court, not the first one. So to me, the question comes down, and for the Secretary of State's behalf and the future, is either the Secretary of State comes out and you only talk about the legislative portion, or we at least make some intent of what we think the Secretary of State ought to do in order to comply with the law and not go to court. I don't care either way. I'm just laying out
Thank you.
How the bill reads right now.
Chair Rosenbaum, Senator Boquist, That's great input, and I agree with you. It's ambiguous, and candidly, I'd be open to doing either thing. Candidly, my expectation, my thinking was that it would all happen before the legislative vote, but if there's, I haven't been through one of these, and I think each of you has been through one of these, perhaps, and I would defer to your, two of them. So I would defer to your expertise. I hope you share the view that codifying a level of community outreach, because it actually was well received by the community last time, and that's why the community asked us to do this. If you think that's a good idea, which I do, then whichever direction you prefer on this, I support. The original intention, though not perfectly manifest here, was that it would all happen before the legislative vote, and I apologize for ambiguity.
And Senator Farioli.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't want to belabor this, but the way the measure summary reads, the legislature could hold 10 and fail to come up with a plan. And just to characterize how likely that is and how unusual it was for the legislature to actually draft a constitutionally valid, politically acceptable plan, not once but twice, because we did the state and the federal, which is like nothing short of a miracle, we called those rooms in which the planning occurred war rooms. Just give you the idea. But the way this measure summary says, the legislature could, as the chair mentioned, have 10 hearings and fail. And then the Secretary of State could do 5 teleconferences. That's enough. That's what this bill says. Because it says via video conferences or throughout the state. That's an either or. So I think your objective is quite clear as you described it. You want lots of input, well distributed geographically, during the time that the legislature is in debate, and then something following the proposal of the plan.
Right.
So you got front-end feedback and back-end response. That I don't think that's as explicit as you've described it in the bill.
You actually do five.
Chair Rosenbaum, Senator Farioli, my bad.
You didn't write it.
Had that being ambiguous. But what I would love to hear, if you folks feel it would be appropriate, is if there is a direction that you suggest we pursue for an amendment, I would wholeheartedly embrace it. We'd like to get something done here, if it pleases your committee. Yeah.
And we will have more time to work on it, because we had a request before you got here from the Secretary of State not to move the bill today,
okay,
so that they could, I think, meet with
come to you.
Let's propose an amendment.
About the timing. Yeah. Exactly. Senator Byers.
Madam Chair, I think what would be the structure of what you're trying to get makes sense to me. I think we could easily clarify this to say the legislature, before proposing a plan, shall hold 10 hearings throughout the state.
Well distributed geographically throughout the
whatever
state.
Right, and that was the other ambiguity.
At least five of which will be in a different right congressional district.
Perfect.
And then subsequent to that, say that a proposed plan, they shall hold 5. And then if it defaults to the Secretary of State, Secretary of State shall hold at least 5 hearings on the proposed plan before adopting it. Mm. Does the Secretary of State adopt it? I don't know what the Secretary of State does.
I think they propose. Yeah, I think they do adopt.
They do adopt.
And then it's subject to court review.
Whatever the right language is. And you can say the second one should be the 5 hearings should want one in each of the congressional districts.
That makes sense, too.
So moved, Madam Chair.
One of each congressional district.
Senator Burdick.
Madam Chair, I want to thank you for bringing this forward, and I think it was an amazing thing we accomplished in the last redistricting. I believe it was the first successful legislative redistricting since the 1960s that we accomplished. And I think, you know, to have the elected representatives of the people be able to pull this off on a bipartisan basis is something we should try to move into the future.
Right.
I do question the 10 hearings at the front end. That's a lot of hearings. And
but we did it this time.
Was it actually 10?
It's actually 13, I think, Aaron said.
Okay. Well,
and Of course, we just, had Aaron schedule a role conducted.
Having been through the ethics hearings wars, it's quite an endeavor. So I guess I would have a question mark about that. You want the representation, certainly. Mm-hmm. I'm not arguing with that. Heard. I'm just wondering about mandating the number to that. Maybe you could say up to 10. But make sure you cover all the legislative districts.
One of the side benefits if you have Senator Prezanski involved is you find all of the breweries in the state.
I see.
And
now
there's at least 10, and I want 10.
now I understand why you were so successful.
Or you can do 10 hearings in Congressional District 2.
I do want to commend you for trying to process into the future. This is the first attempt to do that I'm aware of, and I'm glad it's happening.
Good. Well, Chair Rosenbaum, Senator Burdick, I appreciate that. I need to thank the good people of Common Cause and AARP and other groups who brought the idea forward to us. To clarify, so that I'm heading in an appropriate direction for next steps, I'd be happy to. Sounds like I need to set a meeting with the Secretary of State's office and run by her the proposed amendment that you folks just articulated, with maybe the up to 10 hearings instead of must be 10. And then if they are comfortable with that, then we would submit that as an amendment to the bill, and when it's ready, possibly have more conversation.
I think our committee administrator could work with you on getting that drafted.
Yeah, Madam Chair, I was just saying, or you could accept a committee amendment.
Oh, yes.
Drafted by the person
rules,
who has
yes.
the most experience in the state doing redistricting.
Is that the appropriate step? Because I'd be happy to do that.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Okay, so I just.
Yes, Senator Boquist?
I just want to make sure. I like the 10 number. I don't like up to.
You don't like what?
At least. I like the 10 number.
10, not up to 10. 10.
Right.
Tennessee.
If our dear council can do 13, somebody else can certainly do 10 in the future.
Yeah. I think so. You'll meet with the Secretary of State. I think they just had questions about whether there would be adequate time to do all these hearings between their getting the task and then having to propose something, then holding the hearings. And I'm sure they'll tell you all about that. So.
And Madam Chair, remind them that they have 6 years to plan. 6 years to plan.
And Aaron's available.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
So, I don't see any other questions for you, so thank you for coming down.
Thank you very much.
We will continue to work on this. And we don't have anybody else signed up to testify. Is there anybody else here to testify?
Madam Chair, my questions for Mr. Carter have been answered.
Good. Oh, okay. Well, great.
Oh, other than...
did you have...
Madam Chair, I have a question for the members of the committee. Mm. How many of us are card-carrying members of his organization?
AARP?
Yes. Who else? Come on, fess up.
Come on, Boquist.
Come on.
He's not
so
talking.
Do we have to...
You get free
coffee. That's a conflict. No.
I think it's a large class. And a growing one
that's
here.
Right.
Okay, so we don't have anybody else to testify on this bill, so we'll continue to, we'll take this input, continue to work on it.
That's right.
I'll close the public hearing on House Bill 2974. And then we do have one more, but we don't have our legislative sponsor who wanted to testify.
He did, but we could go ahead.
But we could go ahead.
Yeah, Madam Chair, this is...
Oh, did they just adjourn?
No, he's still...
This is a perfect opportunity for you to invite the person to testify or have the bill passed. Take your pick.
Oh, well, you're right.
This is a very controversial...
Okay, well, why don't we just go ahead then, and we'll knock this one out. So I will open a public hearing on House Joint Memorial 5A. And work session on House Joint Memorial 5A. Erin?
And Madam Chair, members of the committee, HJM 5A urges Congress to authorize a federal bond program comparable to Build America Bonds or the first Fast Forward Bonds program. It comes to you with 57 aye votes from your House floor.
Okay. This was Representative Reed's bill in the House. He is on the floor of the House, so not available. I'm sure would say great things about this, and we'll just act as if we heard them. And we don't have anybody else signed up to testify on this, so how about a motion?
Madam Chair.
Bill DeMarco.
I move House Joint Memorial 5-8 of the floor with a be adopted recommendation.
Senator Farioli has moved House Joint Memorial 5-A to the floor with a be adopted recommendation. Is there any discussion on the motion? Any objection to the motion?
As long as I'm not carrying
Is anybody
hands.
Listening to me? Okay, I see no one objecting, so the motion carries. This moves to the floor. Do we have a volunteer to carry it?
Madam Chair, my script says Senator Beyer carries.
Senator Beyer, would you like to carry this on the floor?
Oh, sure.
Okay, so we'll ask Senator Beyer to be our carrier, and I'll close the work session on HJM 5, and that completes our agenda for today. So thank you, members, for good work, and with nothing further to come before us today, we're adjourned. Have a great weekend, and have a great rest of April.